Where's
Jay's coming. He just got home late from work, so he's just eating. Okay. And he's coming to see me. And Baruch, I don't know where Baruch is.
He didn't call in. Okay. Okay, Rabbi Say, welcome, Rabbi. Welcome, everybody. thank Hashem that we have the place. We have our chevra, Baruch Hashem, as usual. We have so much to do tonight. Hashem, first of all, do you have anything very, very quickly? If you have to say nothing, Shimon, last week we try to continue the Vodas HaPurim, try to crystallize some thoughts that we had, the significance of Purim. Do you have anything you want to share very quickly?
Both
the Purim as well as Hashgacha Pratis. When you're looking for the Hashgacha Pratis, you see them.
It's
like all these things. When you work on it,
you see. Okay, we have another week left to Adar. Sometimes, like it's just like 1 week left. So sometimes you lose the feeling of the importance of it. It's like we hit the end of it. End of Adar already. It's like the lit candles, the last night of Hanukkah, 8 candles. What did they know? It's like a little time left. The last few minutes of Hanukkah left. Like you don't feel like it's a really, it's just as chashiv as the first second of Hanukkah, maybe even more, because, there's only a few seconds left. It's the end of Adar now, but really, the simcha of Adar really is the whole time, and really the whole Adar we should, we should really connect with the nisim that happened. So it's very precious this week, and we should go out of our way, especially to try to connect with it. So I would suggest, if I say that first of all, the Mishnayos Adar Marbim Simcha, so we should see to it that we continue the Marbim Simcha. If I say we have in our group, you missed it, Usher. Unfortunately, we had an all-time high 20 suggestions of how to tools to be married the simcha. So you could maybe get it from the oilam if they'll be willing to share it with you. So you should draw from those 20 things that we say to continue the simcha's adar. That includes some, vodka and schnapps, right? So that's number one. Number two, another way of connecting with Adar and with Purim, Rabbi Say, is to go through the Megillah again. Go through it, just the Pashup Shat, and have a sensitivity to pick up little nuances, little things that you didn't notice before. I'm sure, but if you go through the Megillah again, you'll see just the Pashup Shat, all kinds of things, all kinds of little things that you didn't notice. Just tonight I was looking through it and I noticed something interesting. Esther, when she had that second suitor with Ahasuerus, so she revealed that she was Jewish, right? When she had that, when she said the second come and join me, and then she said that she revealed that she was Jewish at that time, and Haman wants to kill. I thought so also. If you asked me to take a Sefer Torah to swear on it, I would, right? But tonight I looked this evening. It doesn't say it over there that she said she was Jewish. It doesn't say it there. All it says is that she said she and her nation, somebody wants to kill her and her nation. And the Nechashay says, who? So he said, Isha, Russia, Haman. But it just doesn't say openly that she said that she was that she was Jewish. And just I don't know if they I don't know if at that point they even knew that she was Jewish, but she said that somebody wants to kill me and my people, me and my people. So they said, who is that? This man, he wants to kill me and my people. So Ahasuerus was angry. He wanted to kill the queen and her people. You know, but it could be that they understood as a double portrait that who was supposed to be killed, the Yidden. So she said that someone wants to kill me and my people. So it could be it was understood that it meant the Yidden, or maybe it wasn't understood at all. It didn't have to be the Yidden. Whatever it is, she said that my people somebody wants to destroy Chas v'Shalom my people. Who? This man over here. So Ahasuerus was angry at him because he wanted to, you know, try to kill the queen and her people. So that's why Ahasuerus was angry. But not necessarily because then it says afterwards that it afterwards says that she a few seconds later that she fell to the feet of the king and was crying and begging him that we should save now the Yidden, right? So I mean at that point, you know, that became open that we're talking about the Yidden, but before that it wasn't this thing. And this is a very interesting point, and it goes to the Mahagada, I mean the Megillah, every year, and so many things come up that you don't. Okay, good, Rabbi Zayin. We hope that Hashem is Baruch that. To be with the Olam, I hope to try to be with the Olam next week. You know, even though the mirror isn't gonna go, so we never try. I'll be in touch with you to try to be here.
Okay.
I just want to mention just in case that I'm not here, you know, that at the beginning of Nisan, so we always speak about that. It says in Haggadah, Yochol Mirosh Chodesh. You might think that we have the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we have it the Leil Seder. You might think that from the beginning of Nisan, you have a mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tamaloyma, no. It's only, you know, when the Matzah, Monochim Lefonecho. But there was a Havamina that from the beginning of Nisan, every night, you'd have a mitzvah like by the Seder, and you see Pesach Mitzrayim. And the Gemara says, no, we mean in Pesach that you don't have it. But the fact that the Gemara had a Havamina, that we do have to have this mitzvah, it shows that from the beginning of Nisan on, there is some kind of a kesher already, you know, with the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's something in the air already, something about Nisan already that from the beginning connects you with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, which means, what does that mean in other Ibra? It means that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, a person can have already a chizuk in the emunah of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And how do we get a chizuk and emunah from it? And we have to connect with it. So really, from the beginning of Nisan, we should make an effort to connect already with the, you know, with the Yetzias Mitzrayim. How should we do it? So we went over to any of the people here, you know, and asked them how to connect with it. They probably wouldn't know. This is a paid-for commercial. But in our group, we know how to do it, right? Just very, very recently, we went through the parashas of the Yetzias Mitzrayim of, you know, Shmois and Boy and Vishalach. We went through the parashas of the Yetzias Mitzrayim and we spent, you know, like a few solid weeks working on it. Right, so if you go to somebody in our group and they ask, how do you work in Yetzias Mitzrayim, they can give you an answer right away, right? Like, first of all, each day we should maybe take one of the makis and to think into it, right? Try to visualize it and try to think of the significance. Also, twice a day when we have a mitzvah deraisa of Zechiras Yisef Mitzrayim, not Sipur, but Zechiras, right? We have a mitzvah deraisa every day, twice a day, of Zechiras Yisef Mitzrayim. So when we're kind of that mitzvah, Zechiras Yisef Mitzrayim, so we should think very quickly, visualize the Esamakis quickly, you know, we try to train ourselves to do that. You know, as you say, Anir Hashem Elokechem, so try to picture the tzachat ashbacha, the dam turns to the frogs turn to kinim, the kinim turn to big animals, and then the animals die, that's dever, and then people got skin on their bodies, and then the borat came down, you know, on the people, on their big boils, and the borat turned into Arba, you know, the locust became so thick that it became a darkness, like that's in the pasuk, and the darkness, which the last 3 days was really a paralyzation, it wasn't just they couldn't see, they were like paralyzed. So that leads into the Makas Bechoris, into death, right? So I'll just give you one of the systems that you can use, that how one picture leads into the other. But anyway, twice a day, you know, you should try to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Zechiras Yisef Mitzrayim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hoceitzi Etchem, try to go quickly to the Esam Makas. Also, when you say the Shira every day, right? When you say the Shira every day, so pause a moment before and try to visualize what it was like standing at the Kriyas Yamsuf and the joy of being saved and feeling that you just made it through and Hashem Baruch Hu, you know, destroyed the Misriim and the Deer. So try to visualize that and try to say the Shira with that kind of enthusiasm, you know, with enthusiasm. For us, Rabbi, say again, we're experts in this, right? We're big momentum in this. We deserve, like, to hang a shingle, right? Certificate of Mumcha. I am a Mumcha in Yisias Mitzrayim. Certificate hanging on the wall. Print up, you know, certificates. Okay, Rabbi Sai. There's a machshava on the Megillah itself that I wanted to share with the Oilam, one or two machshavas. Let's see. Okay, there's one rayon that I want to share with you, that we learned the way the whole scenario developed during the story of the Megillah. So we're told that Klai Yisrael, they were invited to Suda HaFashverish. And Chazal tell us that they when they went, of course they indulged very much in the overindulged offerings that Achashverosh had given out to his guests, you know, all kinds of food things and drinks, and there was in kedas, and the attitude that the Klal should have had when they went there was that, you know, it's all against their will, we don't really want to go there, but you know, because Achashverosh really have to go. And if they had food there and everything, it should have been that never, we don't have to really even eat there, but if we need, it's like just to show, you know, to be like, we say, to be social a little bit, to show that you know, that we you know, we're being mishtatef also with him, but not like to get really engrossed in the enjoyment of it and live it up, you know, to be part of it. And that's what the Yidden did. So that's why they were punished. And, I mean, in Shemayim, they're very angry at the Yidden for their participation. And it was almost a punishment of being destroyed. That's the way the conventional way of is understanding it. So I wanted to just show a knesh, maybe a little bit of a knesh, understanding it a little bit differently. You hear a Moshe that the point wasn't so much that they indulged in enjoyment of the food. They were sucking out the bones and really enjoying the food. What the Chazal meant that they with men and Mitzvah Hashverish that when they went there, so you know, these goyim, they invited them, right? So they felt that it was an honor, you know, to be invited to Shulchan Hashverish. In other words, these great goyim, big shots, and you know, the big guns, everybody said, the goyim, the big guns, the big shots, and they invite little old us, the hidden, you know, to the party. So they felt the bones of shot, and then the like a little bit of a different knage. It wasn't so much that they dug into the hors d'oeuvres. And they were enjoying the pastrami sandwiches. The shot is that they were sitting back and they were having tremendous hanor. They were basking in enjoyment that the goyim, these great goyim, that they honored us to come to their party. In other words, they felt so uplifted so much joy that these great goyim, imagine little old us, they invite. They respected and looked up to the goy to such a degree that they felt that was an honor, for the little yid to be invited to the party of such, you know, goyim, you know, big goyim. So that's a great honor. That was the pshat. Not so much the food part, but the fact that they had a joy that these goyim, you know, respected them and to invite them, and that's a terrible thing about that, right? That Baruch Elo Kenu Shabrona Lufayda. These are the time we're the chosen nation, right? We look down on the goyim. What do you mean look down on them? We believe that we're the chosen nation, and Hashem put them in the world for a purpose. But as far as the tachlis of the world, the bria, so we're the ones that. No, so what happened? Hashem made an onish that they wanted to kill. They wanted to kill the Yidden. So what was the pshat? Hashem said, "Here." Hashem said, "You Yidden. These are the goyim that you look up to. These are the goyim that you feel it's a great honor that they invited you to the party. You so much enjoy that. So I'll show you what these goyim are." And the goyim wanted to kill the Yidden. You know, for what? What for? For nothing. For zero. So Hashem was showing them. Hashem was showing them that this is what you're so happy about. That these great goyim honored you by inviting them, inviting you to their party. So I'll show you. I'll show you who you respect. These are the people that you feel it's an honor for you to be at their party. So, look what kind of people they are. They're willing to wipe out Chas V'Shalom Klal Yisrael for no reason whatsoever. So it wasn't just like a punishment. The conventional way of looking at it is that they sucked in the bones, you know, from the smorgasbord. So Hashem said, "You get a punishment. That the goyim is going to want to kill you. It's like a patch, But the way we're learning it now is that it wasn't just like a stamp punishment. Hashem was showing them that I'm going to show you who these goyim are that you respect so much that you feel it's an honor to be invited to their party. I'm going to show you who these goyim are. And when they wanted to kill the Yidden, it wasn't so much a punishment of being chas v'shalom killed. It was more than that. It's a demonstration of, look at these people that you respect and you think that they're wonderful people and you think it's an honor, you know, that they should invite you. You know, look what kind of people they are. You know, don't feel honored that you go to the party. Feel honored that you have a Torah and you're the chosen people of Hashem, and Hashem loves you, and Hashem, you're Hashem's people. That's what you should feel happy about. Not to be an honor to be invited to, you know, to the party. So I thought maybe according to this shot, I want to say, because you hear Hosea, that so I thought according to this shot, I wanted to say. So it's a big pellet why Mordechai didn't bow down to Haman. So there's many different shotim why. They also have maybe a nice chat. But according to this thing that we're saying now, maybe we have a new insight why he didn't want to bow down. Because Haman like symbolized, you know, the goy at that time, like he was like Spitz, great goy, you know. And he was like a status symbol of the way the goyim at the time, you know, held that they were like superior, very much similar to, you know what, Rabbi Sai. So Mordechai, he was the big great goy, right? So Haman, like he symbolized like this great symbol of this great goy. So Mordechai Dafka didn't want to bow down to him. He didn't want to show him respect, because showing him respect was just the good that the goyim, I mean, the Yidden fell on this. This is their mikshel, that they looked up to the goy and respected the goy. So Mordechai wanted to show that this Haman, that he's the ideal and the symbol of the of what the goy feels, that he's great. I'm dafka to go out of my way not to show him any respect, because I want to show that this guy would symbolize the great goy. You know, by us that's not greatness. We don't look up to them as great. We look at a person that does the Ratzon Hashem, the kind of Ratzon Hashem, that's great. And we don't look up to you, goyim. So that's why I didn't want to bow down to him, to show that he just the opposite of what Klal Yisrael did. He wanted to show that he's not going to show the respect to the goyim. It's a new insight, the Wayside. Now we have to run out and try to make the bus. Okay, so the Uvdu Vemaisa, we have a Wayside, right? You tell the Uvdu Vemaisa, right? Okay, Shev Rocha Vatzlocha, everybody, a Wayside. We should be Zoycha Mamish, the Korov, to see the great deal of Akash Baruch, Mashiach Sekenu.